Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie, and people were very moved yesterday by the story of Gillian McNulty, and within seconds, one particular... Now, by the way, this was... so many people followed, but we just had the first person that phoned in. One man phoned in and offered to pay for Gillian's, which was not the reason she was on, but the government have taken them off her, so she's no way getting them back, cruelly. And she offered that man offered to pay for Gillian's Versatis patches, £100 a month for the next 3 years. In other words, over €3,000 if she needs them. Now remember, she's waiting on a kidney transplant. She's 8% function in her kidney transplant, cystic fibrosis. Because she's such a low function in her kidney, she can't ingest Salpidine or Panadol or painkillers. And the only painkiller that's working for her, as she says, she feels like when she's walking, her back is going to snap. The only painkiller that works for her is Versatis patches. But as you know, the government have decided that only the well-off in Ireland can have those patches. If you're on the medical card or the DPS scheme, well, good luck. Unless you get down on your hands and knees and beg for them. And even when you do, as Gillian did, she was told no, hard luck. We were contacted, thanks to that person, thanks to all the other people. Gillian didn't avail. She availed of the first person that phoned in. And reluctantly, by the way, because she is a campaigner and she thinks other people shouldn't be subjected to this, and as she said, yes, she has a voice, and a strong voice, and long may it roar. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You heard Gillian.
I did indeed, Joe, and I just phoned in because equally I wanted to just make a contribution. Mm-hmm. because I thought it was absolutely appalling that they differentiated because she did not have shingles.
That's right. They said you cannot have these patches because you haven't recently had shingles.
No, absolutely. But this is a woman. Like, CF is a genetic terminal illness. And I was just appalled, you know, even at the rate of whatever it was, 100 or 150 a month, she was denied that and differentiated against.
Now, your connection to cystic fibrosis, we have the highest incidence in the world in Ireland, and that's why...
No, we absolutely have, Joe. Yeah. I come from a family, and I lost 5 of my brothers and sisters through CF.
5?
And
wow. Can I ask, Mary, let's put names on your beautiful siblings.
I can indeed.
Yeah.
Mary Therese.
Yeah. What age was she when she died?
About 1.5. We're going back to the 50s, 60s,
okay,
70s.
Okay, of course, yeah.
Okay. And CF wasn't actually diagnosed. Mary Therese, I think on her death cert, is pneumonia.
Okay.
So it wasn't. So my parents then went through, like I used to think of it when I came into my adulthood, as Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Because they went through almost every second child having cystic fibrosis.
And your other siblings who died, what were their names and ages, please?
The oldest, I was 17 when my sister Kate died and she was 9.
Oh my God.
And what I really want to acknowledge and applaud is, first of all, the wonderful science and medicine that has enhanced the survivability of people with cystic fibrosis. Also to acknowledge the advocates like Orla Tinsley, who have done Trojan work, not just in raising awareness, but also campaigning to put pressure on the government.
Yeah.
And what struck me yesterday was, when Gillian was speaking, how little government policy or HSE or Department of Health policy has advanced to support people who have a genetic terminal illness.
Five. Again, I'm conscious you only name. It's my cross question that's not helping you. There was Maria Therese was one. Kate was nine.
Mary Therese.
Mary
okay.
Therese, yeah.
Catherine.
What
Paul.
Age? Yeah, what age was Catherine when she died?
Catherine was about 3 and a half.
Okay.
She was younger than me, and I can remember her clearly. And then there was Thomas.
And you mentioned Paul.
And Paul, yes. Okay. He died before I was born. The year before I was born.
And did you... Which is an unbelievable...
There was 13 of us, Joe.
And five died from cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
All died. They were all under 10. Most of them around one. Sorry, all under 10. Kate was 9. Catherine was 3. Paul was 1. Mary Therese was 1. And Thomas died shortly after birth. May they rest in peace, the five of them. What was that like for you, Mary, when you were growing up? Did you... What was mortality like in your head at a prospect of...
Joe, it was a different time than it is now. It was obviously traumatic for a child to suddenly miss their brother or sister. We, at the time, as young children, like for Catherine's burial, the young children were not taken to the funeral.
Wow.
And it was thought of as protecting them. But, of course, now we know it wasn't, because it wasn't giving us the space to understand or to grieve.
And what... So Catherine was 3 when she died. Kate was 9. Well, what did your parents tell you had happened to Catherine, for example?
When Kate was 9, my elder sister, myself, we were away, and we didn't have mobiles or internet, and we arrived back, and... Kate had died and the funeral was over.
Oh, God.
So...
And how did they explain her passing?
Well, we know her passing. Like, the last time I saw Kate was in Cromwell Hospital before we left.
Okay.
So, it was just part and parcel, but it doesn't mean that it didn't impact. You know,
course,
when you were a young child or... when you were a young adult. So it was just... And it had a huge impact on my parents, obviously. Who were wonderful people.
And when you say... Can you give us a glimpse of that impact to lose 5 children? So young.
Dear God, Joe.
Yeah, I know. It's
like you're asking me.
I know, it's a difficult one.
My mother was... the most loving person, but found it really, really hard to cope with that. So she suffered from depression.
Yeah.
And acted a bit out of that. And always felt guilty for that.
Guilty for the depression and the effect of it, or...?
Guilty for how it might have impacted on the rest of us. Now, we grew up at a time which, like, I think I'm a similar generation to you, where we were out all the time. So I grew up in Clontarf, and we had wonderful richness, you know, of environment at the time. But my mother really suffered.
And your dad?
Dad completely put his head into work. And he worked and worked and did his best to support my mother and to support us. At that stage, he was stalwart, like men didn't talk.
Well, there was 9 children in the family still. I know it would have changed over the years in terms of the ages.
Yeah,
can I ask, Mary, are your 5 siblings buried together?
they're buried in Dean's Grange. My mother and father are buried with my sister Kate.
And the other, your other four siblings?
In my father's family grave.
Okay. Well, I presume one of the problems is, can you put seven people in one grave? Probably not.
Well, no, I think it's four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no.
I think it's four. I understand there's still one place left in my parents and Kate's grave in Dean's Grange. Yeah. But I really, Joe, wanted to phone, not to go into the big, you know...
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
History of my own family, but just to really, you know, acknowledge Gillian yesterday, yeah, and to say how disgraceful I think it is. And okay, first of all, applaud the man who, you know, phoned, yeah, in, and absolutely applaud him. But how the HSE and the Department of Health could deny somebody with CF a basic pain relief that costed £150 a month.
And you're trying, 100 quid in some scams. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to humanise the numbers. You're trying to say, take, for example, look at my family. We buried five from CF. And when, in those times, I know you say it's different times and you praise Orla, rightly so. And I think of Gillian, you're praising her as well. I also think of the long, big number of people with CF who came on this programme who have passed on. But what, in your day, given that CF was so big in your family, Mary, was your family, were they a member of the Cystic Fibrosis Association?
Yes,
did they fundraise?
We were every year given, you know, like cans, and we'd get the 30 bus in.
The collection boxes, yeah.
Yeah, and stand outside the GPO,
yeah,
and say, please help CF. And nobody had a notion of what CF was. Now, we collected money. You know, and that money was then given to the CF Association.
Yeah. And they're brilliant now, and they're so instrumental in when the whole issue blew up about, well, it's about 8 years ago now, about St. Vincent's,
yes,
and looking,
yes,
for individual bathroom, ensuite rooms because of infection, obviously, as you well know.
Yeah.
And all the voices emerged, and there was an incredible chorus of really beautiful people, beautiful voices, basically pleading for their lives at that stage.
1,000%, Joe. And I know some of them are no longer with us.
Yeah.
I know Orla is. Yeah. But to hear those young voices 8 years ago really had a huge impact on my heart.
And had a huge impact on a lot of people as well, because that's when the decision was made, and the political decision was made to try and go ahead with the new unit in St. Vincent's, which is now well finished. And I know there's a new unit in Beaumont as well, and in Cork.
Yeah.
But the one in Cork was, a lot of fundraising was done by families, as you know, Mary. Mary, thanks indeed, and kind regards, and to put names on those statistics, that five of your 13 siblings died from one illness and was called cystic fibrosis. It's the highest rate in the world is here in this country, and I think the government are very conscious of it, so hopefully that will continue. However, the reality was, and that's why Gillian was on yesterday, the reality of the budget and this and that and talk of Brexit and steady the ship.
I could talk to you ad nauseum about Brexit, but I just want to say you have been a good advocate as well.
All I do is give people like you a platform, yeah. I understand, that's my job. And Mary, thanks indeed, you're very kind. And again, condolences on the passing of Fire. I know it's a long time ago, I know you say it's a fit, but still, they're very much, as we heard in terms of your name, they're very much still in your heart.
But I applaud the young people
who
are the voice of CF.
Hear.
Okay.
Okay, Mary, thanks indeed. Go to Mahal. Got 51551 joe@rt.ie and 1850, as you'll hear now. It's like 1850-715-815.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Nearly 1 million people in Ireland have high blood pressure, a major cause of heart disease. And high blood pressure usually comes with an even bigger problem, a lack of symptoms. Drinking too much alcohol can raise your blood pressure and your risk of heart attack or stroke. Look after your heart. Reduce your alcohol intake and ask your GP or pharmacist to check your blood pressure regularly. Find out more about how alcohol impacts your health at askaboutalcohol.ie from the HSE.
RTE Radio 1.
David Gray. Live in concert. White Ladder, the 20th anniversary tour. A once-in-a-lifetime evening performing White Ladder in its entirety and greatest hits. Free Arena Dublin, April 2nd. David Gray. Tickets available this Friday at 9 a.m. from Ticketmaster.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie. Easily compare mortgage rates for first-time buyers, movers and switchers. It's easy, it's free, it's bonkers.ie.